Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen is talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz. Your place for all things smooth. Artist
Nicholas Cole. Vincent Ngala. Jonathan Fritzen.
And news with the smoothest show on the internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. Thank you so much for joining me today. Let me welcome those in the chat room, all of the guests, Cheryl and Stacy's gal. Welcome to the chat and to the show. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Betty Grace Miner's name, and that should bring you into the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. My guest today is photographer and painter Betty Grace Miner. I was introduced to her work on a cruise that I went on in 2007, hosted by Brian Culberson. It was the Smooth Jazz Cruise, and she did a poster for that cruise, and that's how I was introduced to her work. Betty Grace Miner, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, how you doing, Terry?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak with you.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm so honored.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So now we posted this, we put the poster on Facebook of Brian Culberson and how many times he appeared in the poster. And we do have two winners. Betty said that she would give away a signed autograph poster to two people that could identify how many times Brian appeared in the poster, which is 13. And then plus there's a bonus appearance as well. So we do have two winners on that. Would you like to announce the winners, Betty?
Sure. It is Barb Susan and Cheryl Ox.
Congratulations, Barb and Cheryl. I tell you, I counted that poster a million times.
It's tough. It took a long time to find all those little hiding spots for Brian.
Yes, I have it on my wall. I'm looking at it now, and I count. And every time I came up with 10, I kept coming up with 10. And then I looked, well, maybe the shades and... and then there, I saw one that I didn't see before, so then I found them all. So good, good.
I'm going to send you one, too. You already have one, though, don't you?
I have one, yes.
Okay,
I have one, and Brian signed it, and yeah.
He was a really good sport. He was in here. We were photographing him for about 7 hours.
Ooh.
I even made him dinner that day because it just went so long.
Wow.
But he was a great sport about it. He came with lots of wardrobe and different props, and he just was a trooper.
I've interviewed Brian a couple of times, and I told him he would make a great model because he does so well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, if this music thing doesn't work out for you, you might consider modeling.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's got anything to worry about.
I agree. So, Betty, I would like to start with your background and how you got started in painting. And I read that you actually started in music. You were a music major.
Right, I was. I actually did. I studied music. I was from Seattle, and I was going through a music program up there and came out of that and was all intent to be a big music star, moved to L.A., and then actually had a car accident that sort of ended my ability to play guitar. And so, you know, it's funny with the creative process, though. If you can't do what it is you want to do, in one direction, you know, it kind of takes you in another path, and that's when I discovered the visual arts. I'd never studied visual arts, photography, or painting. I just started doing it and went from there. And I actually like this better than performing arts for me. But I think that's why I have such a love for creating art of musicians and kind of music-inspired pieces.
Okay. Now, you started with the Polaroid manipulation?
I did.
Explain that.
Well, that was a process. It was kind of an art form that came out of a fluke that Polaroid had in one of their films. It was the Polaroid SX70 camera. and 70 being the 1970s, what would happen is people would take a picture and then they'd take a popsicle stick or their thumbnail or a spoon or something and just sort of, you know, press on the surface of the picture while it was developing, and it would move the dyes around. Once it finishes developing, it hardens, and then you can't do that. But it became an art form, and I had seen it. A friend of mine did it, and I said, oh, I love that. And so I just started trying to do it, and it worked out really well for me and kept doing that, and I started doing the jazz stuff. Rick Braun actually was my first kind of breakthrough. I was photographing him at a concert, and he was a character. He saw me doing this. He didn't know what I was doing because I'm just like scribbling on this picture, and he's like, what the heck is she doing? Mm-hmm. So he came up to me. I didn't know it because I was doing this thing, and he put his horn in my face. It started blowing, and I got up and started running away from the stage, and he chased me all the way through the audience with the horn. It was a crack-up. So as a gift, I gave him a framed print of that particular image, and his wife, Christiana, she loved it so much that she commissioned me to do a family portrait, which they then used for a Christmas card and sent out to like 400 of their closest friends with my name on the back. And the next thing I know, I'm getting calls for more pieces, and I was asked to do an exhibit and all this. So that's what started me with the jazz stuff in the Polaroid process.
Now, you said that Brian came to your studio and you photographed him there. Take us through the process of setting up a picture for an artist, to do a poster or a painting of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm both a photographer and a fine art painter, and I've kind of found a way to combine those two things. I really can't draw. I've never been able to draw, and I never studied, so I never really learned to draw. So I use my photographs essentially as a drawing. So I get an idea for what it is I want to do, and I photograph that subject, so in this case, Brian. And I said, I have this idea of, you know, kind of doing a Where's Waldo sort of thing with this poster. I said, and here's the kind of the format of the piece. It's going to look like a marquee, and I'm going to have all the other musicians represented. And I said, I kind of want to hide you in different places around the poster. So he came up with ideas, too, like the movie theater box that he's in with the little iPhone, headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
So we just posed him in all these different ways, and I photographed him, so there are all these individual photos. Then with each of those individual photos, then I kind of use that photograph as my model to put him in the poster in all these different ways. Now, that poster and a lot of my work is actually a digital process. I do digital painting. It's not like a push button and there's a painting thing. You're actually doing hand strokes. Every single stroke is by hand. It's just that you're using a digital stylus and a digital pad that goes into the computer, best way I can describe it. So I had all these different layers, if you can imagine, so I could move him around and make him smaller or larger or whatever. And then once I got it all composed, then I painted that. So it took a long time and a lot of photo sessions, and I don't know how else to describe it, but what I normally do with a piece is once I finish the digital painting,
mm-hmm.
then I print that on canvas, and then I do paints on top of that canvas to make it unique, one to the next.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, how long did it take? Because you said the photo shoot for Brian was like 8 hours. Then you had to put the pictures together to put the poster together.
It took about 7 or 8 months to create that poster. It was a long process.
Oh, wow. And was this something that you did on your own for the cruise, or did they commission you to do this?
Well, it was kind of an interesting thing. That poster was actually a gift to everyone on the cruise.
Okay.
No one had to buy it. The cruise people, I had worked with them previously, and so what we did was I said, listen, I'd like this to be a gift, because in the past they were selling it to people, and I just felt like it would be a nice, commemoration of the cruise for people for their memories and to put on their wall. So I kind of made a deal with them. I said, listen, I'll trade you. I said, just give me a cabin and, you know, pay for the printing. I'll create the, I'll do all the art. And I said, and then I want the poster given to everyone on the cruise. So it got a little bit fouled up. The posters ended up in the bottom of the boat somewhere, and they couldn't find them at first. So they eventually did all get passed out. So, but it was really fun trying to, you know, everybody would come up to me and try to get me to tell them where stuff was. I'm like, no, you got to find it. And we had a little trivia sheet, which I think I sent you, that kind of gave them hints. Mm-hmm. And then they would fill it in, and there were prizes for people, people who got the 13 or the 12 or 11 or 10 like you found. There's 10 that are fairly easy to find, but there are some that's real tough. So we had prizes for the people who won, and it was a blast. It was really fun. So I got to go on a cruise, and people got to get a poster, and it was just a blast.
So now Betty sent me a fun fact sheet on this poster, and I'm going to read off some of these facts. Number 5, there are 7 instances of Brian's name. Now, I hadn't even noticed that. So what is Brian's dream? What was that about?
Okay, what that was about, if you look in the lower right-hand corner of the poster, you'll see a hand writing, right?
Yes, yes.
So what I did is I told Brian, I said, listen, I want to incorporate an original handwritten score from you into the background. If you look in the background, you'll see like little notes and and lines and that sort of thing. Well, that's actually Brian's handwriting.
Okay.
Now, in the lower right-hand corner, that's him doing that. So I photographed him while he was writing that chart out, and we called the piece Brian's Dream. So the name of the poster is actually Brian's Dream. So if you kind of look at the overall, this is his dream. So that's why he appears so much, is it's his dream, and he's kind of checking out all the different things that are going on in the dream.
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah, so that kind of answers another part of the trivia question, too. So, and you'll see where it says Brian's Dream above some of the little musical notes that you can find throughout the poster.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number 8, 2 surprise guests are represented in the piece.
Right, Boney James and Gerald Albright. They were surprise guests. Nobody knew they were going to be on the cruise.
Okay.
So that's why you see, like, I think it was, am I right? I think it was. I have to look at him. I'm doing this all from memory here. But, yeah, Boney James for sure, because he came up on the cruise, like somewhere in one of the ports he came on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you'll see where it says, like in the marquee, it'll say surprise guests or something, and it has their name. Do you see that?
Yes, special guest Boney James, Gerald Albright, yes.
Oh, Gerald Albright, right. Mm-hmm. And on that point, one of the other trivia things is that one of the surprise guests is not known for a particular instrument that he plays, and that is also in the piece. It's a little hidden thing.
Oh, is that Gerald?
Yeah, Gerald. Now, it's very hard to see unless you're looking at the poster. It's like just looking at the little digital image that is on Facebook. It's kind of hard to see. But back in the little band there that's kind of in the theater,
yes.
If you look just above Nick Colione's hat, you'll see a guy sitting down playing bass.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, that is too funny. Never even noticed that. And I'm just now seeing somebody in Gerald's saxophone.
That's
playing
right.
The trumpet.
And that is actually Brian playing the trumpet.
Wow.
See, because a lot of people don't realize he plays the trumpet.
Yes,
he's a
yes,
very multi-talented guy.
Yes.
So if you look real close, it's in there. And that's Brian playing the trumpet inside of Gerald's horn.
Okay, so, number 11, Nick Colione Jam Host is represented 4 times. Now, I see him 2 times.
Yeah, and then you have his name. I said 4
okay.
times, huh? Boy, I think
okay.
he's stumped me. I've forgotten this has been since 2007.
Nick, Nick Colione,
times, right?
Nick at Night, uh-huh.
Oh, probably, yeah, the Nick at Night, right? And then you have the 2 pictures of him, and then the now appearing poster in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I think of pictures when I'm looking for stuff. I don't really think of the names.
Right,
so,
but that's why I say represented.
Right.
As
well, this is really nice.
A little tricky stuff.
Yes. Okay. Number 13, the artist's name is in the artwork three times. Okay. Once it's obvious, but the other two are tougher.
Yeah, mine. Well, of course, you see the one up in the marquee.
Uh-huh.
And then the, well, it kind of gives away another one. The original piece that he did, the music, do you see the key that it's in? B minor?
Okay, yes.
Betty Minor.
Got it. Got it. Very clever.
I know. It's
very clever.
Cute little tricks. I don't remember the third one. Probably my signature.
Okay, number 15, at least two things other than music that Brian loves are included. Now, I see Michelle.
Right.
The other one, I think the other one is
the top of the marquee there on the left.
Ah, yeah.
Do you know who that is?
The wine. Yes, the wine.
No, well, there's that, but no. Up at the, next to Boney, the little man at the top of the marquee, that's Brian's dad.
Oh, yes, yes, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, this is really interesting. This is really, really nice. Now, you've also done CD covers and other artwork. You did awards. You've done some awards.
Right. I did the Canadian Smooth Jazz Awards for the last 3 years they were doing them. And those, it was funny because when Mary Kirk first approached me, she said, I want you to create the awards. I said, oh, I couldn't do that. I don't do sculptures. You know, I'm thinking it has to be like a little statue. She goes, no. She goes, we want your original art to hand out as the awards. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I did create these collage pieces that were on canvas, and they were framed with a certificate of authenticity and signed and numbered, and that's the awards that were handed out to the musicians who won the various categories.
Okay. Okay, now, people in the chat room, I think, are looking for the poster. You can find the poster on my Facebook page.
And mine as well.
And Betty's as well. You can find the poster there. We had a little contest going last night with that. So you can find that there. Let me welcome to the chat room Barb White, Carol Ray, Cheryl, Joe from Germany, Catherine Gilrant, Lori, welcome all to the show. Again, if you would like to join us in the chat room, go to talkingsmoothjazz.com and click on Betty Miner's name. If you would like to call in and speak with Betty, please give us a call at 646-716-5485. Betty, I saw a picture of you with a cougar. Tell me about that.
Oh,
you were
petting
it.
I'm a big lover of wildlife and all animals, actually. And there's a wonderful organization here in Southern California called Animazonia, and they are a rescue group. They have rescued these big cats that have found themselves in horrible situations, either from being someone's pet or being abused in a kind of an animal show or something like that. And so they've rescued all these big cats. Well, I told them I volunteered to go do some photography for them to create art that we could then sell to raise money for them to care for the animals. So the day I went out there to do the photography, all the animals were in these cages, of course. They're wild animals. And it was really tough trying to photograph them without the bars. And so I asked the caretaker there, I said, is there a way, perhaps a handler or somebody that can bring the cats out of the cages safely so I can photograph them without the bars? And she said, no, not those cats. She goes, but, she said, Beauty, which is the cougar, she goes, we think you could get in her pen with her. I'm like, you think I can get in the pen? You're not sure? And they said, well, you know, she's pretty good with women. She doesn't like men at all, but she has women handlers, women feeder, cleaner cage, has a woman vet. And she's never, you know, been aggressive with any of them. So we think you could get away with it. I'm like, all right. So within the pen, she is on a chain, but she had full run of that pen. So I'm thinking, well, okay, I'll just about do anything to get the shot I want. So there was like a small fence, so I climbed the fence to get into the pen. And I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. I've seen National Geographic. I just got to, you know, stay low so I don't look intimidating, and I got to be quiet and respectful. And as I'm climbing to the top of the fence, somehow my feet got tangled up, and I fell face first right into the dirt of this pen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, as I'm laying with my face in the dirt, I can hear, like, the narrator's voice, and the photographer has just triggered the prey response. You know? So I'm picturing this big cat coming at me and like grabbing my neck and her jaws, right? And I kind of like peeked up and sort of looked up from the dirt in the direction where I'd last seen her, and she's looking at me with this expression like, smooth, really smooth, babe. You know?
Oh, my
and I
goodness.
Thought to myself, I go, well, you know, if she didn't eat me now, I mean, she had her chance, she probably really doesn't want to. So I sort of dusted myself off, and I actually had to get another camera because I shattered that one. Mm-hmm. And so I walked over and sat down in the middle of the pen and started doing my Polaroids. Well, it's something that she obviously had never seen before, you know, somebody scribbling on a picture on a clipboard. And she became very interested in what I was doing. Well, I was very focused on doing this manipulation because it's like, okay, I've got a big cat. I can't really waste my time here. And so I was just looking down. I wasn't looking at her. Mm-hmm. Well, my partner and the caretaker, they were kind of on the outside of the fence. I heard them whispering, and I thought, well, they're just trying not to disturb the cat. And then all of a sudden I had this feeling, you know that feeling you get when somebody's like standing right behind you?
Okay.
Hair goes up on the back of your neck.
Yes.
And I look up, and here's this cat. We're like face to face, and she's looking at me. And that's when the picture was taken. And I thought, you know, her eyes were just so gentle and so sweet that just instinctively, and this is not a good thing, but instinctively I reached up and petted her.
Mm.
And that's when that photograph was taken. So then what happened, which was really amazing, is she just laid down and showed me her belly like a house cat. So I started petting her, and I did all kinds of photographs of her. It was just a magnificent moment for me. I was thrilled to be able to be that close and to participate that much with a wild animal. But
and
you shouldn't do this in you know, in the wild. You should.
Yes. And she stayed with you the entire time?
Yes. Yes. I stayed there and kept doing photos, and she just sat there and watched me.
Oh,
very
sweet.
How sweet. She never tried to be aggressive at all.
Now, where are these pictures? Are those available on your site? I didn't see them on the site.
You mean the picture of me with the cat?
Yeah.
Oh, if someone wants one, they just email me. I'll be happy to get them something. Any of the images, the art images that are on my website, there's an FAQ that kind of gives a lot of information about if they want to order. The thing is that the pieces are available in so many different sizes and on canvas or on paper. So it's just next to impossible to put all the options on the website like a store.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of do one-on-one with people. If they want something, just kind of give me an idea of how much space you've got for a piece, and I'll then tell you what sizes are available for that piece and what the prices are and the options and framing and all that. There's just, you know, so many ways to go with it that, you know, it's just too hard to put all that on the website.
Okay. Okay. Now, I also read that some of your work is on display at Spagatini's. How did that happen?
Oh, yeah. I took over the place. They let me in the front door, and I just took over. I've been working with Spagatini's for years. I love them. It's my second home. They're just wonderful, wonderful people. And, of course, the food is amazing. And and it's just such a great vibe there. They bring in all the great smooth jazz guys and contemporary jazz, regular straight-ahead jazz, R&B, blues. They just have it all. And I got to know the owners really well. And they were remodeling. They actually expanded the bar area where the stage is. And they said they wanted to include my work in this remodel. So I created essentially a live show that goes around the bar. It's called Midnight Show. The collection is called Midnight Show. And it's all these musicians, and the pieces all kind of go together. And they're always playing live. It's just a real fun collection. Then they remodeled again into the dining area and the patios and that kind of thing. And once again, they asked me to create some pieces. So there are kind of Italian-themed landscapes and that sort of thing that are all throughout the restaurant.
Oh, next time I go, I'll have to go. I haven't been on the dining room side, just on
Yeah, you never do. If you're,
side, yeah.
you're going to hear the jazz, you don't want to leave that area. You just want to stay right there.
Right.
But if you find yourself in the dining room, look around and you'll see some of my artwork.
All right. Now, do you work with other companies, corporations, or interior designers to, you know, kind of help get your work out there?
I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. That, you know, things have been tough in the jazz world lately for everyone, musicians and artists and the fans, everybody. We've lost a lot of terrestrial radio. We've lost record companies and venues and that sort of thing. So I've sort of started branching out and working in other areas. So interior design, especially after I did the whole Spaghettini's collection, interior designers were contacting me saying, hey, listen, we'd like to do, you know, something like this for a restaurant or a hotel or even some of their private clients. So I've started working with them. That's really kind of a fledgling at this point. It's just a small part of what I do. But what I have really expanded into is licensing, where I create pieces that are then used by manufacturers on various products, like notebooks. There's a product coming out that is actually shoes and wallets and purses and that sort of thing that is just wonderful, wonderful application of artwork. And as soon as those are available, I'll put a link on my website for that. So there's just a ton going on with that. I went to New York last year for a show called Surtex, which is a licensing show. And people from all over the world come and look at the various art designs that people have, and they create licensing deals. So I have an agent who handles all that. So if there's anybody out there that wants something like that, let me know, and I'll put you in touch with the agent. So, there's, you know, you have to do various things in the world the way it is today. You can't, you know, it used to be you'd have a job with one employer your whole career and retire, and it was wonderful, but the world isn't like that anymore, so, and artists are no exception. We have to kind of, you know, go into various directions. I have great friends that are musicians. Kelly Minucci, for example, you know, obviously he's a great musician. He puts out these wonderful CDs, but most people don't realize he also creates music for TV shows and movies, you know, so these guys, and they produce, and so there's all these different aspects to what they do. So it's kind of the same with us.
Okay. Barb Susan just came into the chat room.
Hey, Barb.
You won one of the posters for the Brian Culberson poster you won. So Betty is going to send that to you. You guys aren't friends, right? So,
oh, yeah, we are. Sure.
Oh, you are. Okay. So she's going to send you
my
Barb
place.
Susan. Oh, good, good. All right.
Yeah.
She's going to send you
it's
a poster.
Cheryl Ox that I haven't met.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Cheryl also won. And I have not met Cheryl. I haven't had that privilege yet.
Okay. I have a question from the chat room. Catherine Gilran would like to know, if you were to go back to New York City, where would you like to visit particularly?
I'd like to go back to the 9/11 Memorial again. Mm-hmm. I went there the last time I was there last year, and it was absolutely the most moving thing I think I've ever witnessed, to see where the towers had been. And now there's these amazing fountains with all the names of the people who died. And it's almost a spiritual feeling when you're standing there. You know, you can feel all the people that were there.
Ooh, would you do an art piece for that?
I would. But, you know, the idea of it's overwhelming. I would have to, like, put a lot of thought into it. But, yeah, I'd love to. That'd be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
Okay. Stacy wanted me to let you know that Shay Jones from New York City is in the chat room, and
her Shay.
She would need to visit with me. We were supposed to get together but couldn't. Okay.
Yeah, we were going to get together when I was in New York last year, and she had some family things that were going on, and we weren't able to get together, and I missed that. But we will. We will definitely hang.
Okay. Carol Ray would like to know who should I guess it's Cheryl. I guess she means Cheryl. She'd like to know who should Cheryl contact for the poster.
Me.
Okay.
Me. And all my contact information is on my Facebook page or on my website, which is minorworksofart.com. My phone number is there, my everything, email address.
And Minor
or just give me her information. I think she sent me her address, so I'm going to send everything out probably tomorrow or the next day at the latest.
Okay, all right. And Minor is MINER.
Correct, and Betty is BETTIE.
Okay. Now, you mentioned doing exhibits, and I read that you were thinking about putting together, or rather you already have like a little book of your mini prints, and that maybe using that book has an artograph.
Right. I created that book a few years back. It was just a labor of love. That was so much fun. It was all hand-printed. Each page is a fine art print, and then they were bound together, and it was designed in such a way that people could take it to the various, you know, jazz festivals or shows, whatever, and it was designed so the artist had a spot to autograph it. And when they had it all autographed, they could just remove the binder, and they could frame each of the 50 pieces.
Oh.
It was, but it's sold out now. It was a limited edition, and it's completely sold out.
And you're not thinking about bringing it back?
Well, I'd love to. I would actually love to expand on it.
Yeah.
And the only reason I haven't, I had it in the works. I was already creating new pieces for it. I just sort of lost any way to promote it, to let people know it existed. I used to do all these various festivals and shows, and I mean, there were so many here, at least in Southern California, and I was working with radio stations all across the country, and I think maybe all but one or two of those radio stations are gone.
Yeah.
And the venues, they're few and far between now, and it's very tough to work with them. Not any fault of their own, but it's just a tough process. So I thought, well, how am I even going to get the word out that it's available? Because it would be essentially not a book like through a publisher, but myself. I would be self-publishing it and offering it. So if I can figure out how to do it, then I absolutely will. So I'd love to do. If someone has some ideas that... You know, there's people out there much smarter than me that can maybe give me some ideas of how to get the book out there. I would love to do it.
Okay. All right, we have a phone call. Area code 219. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
This is Bernie Scott.
What's up, Bernie?
Bernie! Love you, Bernie.
I love you too, Betty.
Bernie's talking about putting my work in his place.
And...
You have to ask him when he's going to do that.
We really, it's true, we really would like to have a place close to Chicago where we can display some of Betty's work because it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Bernie.
So we're
working
on that.
I'll send you that check later.
Now, Bernie, was Betty your first choice to create the American Smooth Jazz Award?
You know, Betty did not. I didn't know Betty at the time.
Okay.
So, actually, that was done
by a
glass company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Betty did the Canadian awards, and I did see the one from the show that I was at, and I think that was in 2007 or 2008,
mm-hmm.
2009. I don't remember, but it was gorgeous. So that was really my first connection with Betty, just seeing that. But Betty and I became Facebook friends, and I've been able to see a lot of her creative works. And every once in a while, Betty will sneak in something that's just off the charts and just, you know, kind of tickle us with some of her other work other than that, which is the smooth jazz artists. And I'm always delighted when she does that. It's a rare treat, but it is a treat indeed.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yes. Yeah, she does beautiful work.
Oh, it's incredible.
Beautiful work.
Incredible.
And so what do you have in your home?
What do I have? I don't have any of Betty's works yet.
Okay.
As I said, we are, you know, we have a store here in Northwest Indiana. It's kind of a high-end flower shop. Well, it is. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And what we would like to do, we have a lot of the Chicago trade, especially during the summer, and we would really like to, and Betty and I have talked about this, we'd really like to get Betty's work in there because it's the right demographic to get her the exposure that for her to have in the Chicago area.
Okay, that would be nice.
That would be very cool. We've talked about
that.
It can do various things, you know, so we'll have to work that out, Bernie.
Oh, I think so. I think it's time. And we're more settled. We just moved into, it's called the Uptown Arts District in our community. And after 30 years in one location, we moved into the Arts District. And it's the right spot for me. It's really a good spot for Betty.
I think if we had some prints of Nick Colleone in there, you'd probably have a winner.
I think so. Everybody knows Nick, and
yeah.
When I was doing the smooth jazz at South Shore, Nick was one of the favorites when he came in to perform. Everybody just loved.
Oh,
everybody loves Nick.
Not love Nick.
Yes. He can. How can you not? Yes.
Wonderful. He's a great man too.
Oh my
gosh. Not just a great artist, but he's
yeah.
a great man. Just
yeah,
a wonderful humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And we love him.
Yep.
We really do.
And he gives really good hugs.
There are so many people, you know, in the genre, and that's really what I'm doing, kind of on the sidelines since the Smooth Jazz Awards, the American Smooth Jazz Awards, is on the sidelines. I'm just trying to build the genre up, and because it's my favorite, and it's the one genre that most of the artists, and the people who listen to the music are just. They're just top-notch people. They're very kind people.
Oh, they are, yeah.
And it's unlike anything else.
They're family people. They're
yes.
just such great character, you know.
Right. And
I haven't met a guy or a girl in smooth jazz that I didn't love.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I've had excellent experiences with all of them, and I know probably as many as you do, Betty. Maybe not, but I do.
No, probably more, but...
But it's wonderful. It really is.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to give somebody else a chance to talk. I'm sure I heard Carol Ray's on the line.
Ooh, Carol.
So,
my girl.
She's a sweetheart, too.
She is.
She's my adopted cousin. So
my adopted sister. So we're all family.
So I'm gonna watch on my computer and have a wonderful afternoon, folks.
Okay,
thank
Bernie,
you, Bernie.
Give me a call sometime.
Take care. Terry, so nice talking with you again.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so Betty,
yes.
In addition to your music-inspired art, you have wine cellar art, there's some floral art, and a race car series of art. Now, tell me about the race cars.
That was all Polaroid stuff, and that was just a hoot. It was really fun because it was all drag racing. It's not NASCAR, although some of the cars might look like that. It was all drag racing, and I actually got involved in that through a charity that needed some pieces for something they were doing. It's a long story. And so I just absolutely fell in love with the cars. I loved all the colors and shapes, and it was really kind of fun because my sponsor, the guy that brought me in, you know, he wanted me to photograph the important cars, you know, the important drivers, and he had a hard time, you know, reining me in because I was like, oh, that's a pretty one. He goes, it's not important. I go, but it's pretty. So I wanted to do it. And I was in the staging lanes. You know, that's where they're ready. I mean, the cars are torn apart when they go to the pits. The wheels come off. The engines come out. You know, so they're not really, you can't really photograph them. So you have to wait until just before they go out to race. So there's these staging lanes. And the cars are moving. You know, they're moving up to the line so they can take off. So I'm wearing these, like, ear protectors, and I've got a clipboard that I'm doing I've got this Polaroid hanging around my neck, and I'm using a knitting needle, and I look like a lunatic, right? And I had to have a spotter because I'd get hit by a car. I wasn't paying attention. And here's all these pros with these big, long lenses and all their stuff, and me with this little Polaroid. And they would laugh at me and, like, push me out of the way, you know, because they thought I was just some sort of amateur. Yeah, I had a media pass. That was there legit. But they just didn't take me seriously until I got in on the cover of Hot Rod magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, with my little Polaroid, you know. So, yeah, I had a blast doing that and enjoyed it very, very much. But the NHRA is tough because if you're selling anything, they want like 80% of it.
Oh, wow.
And there's just so many things to go through to do anything professional with it. But I met some wonderful guys. This Reggie Showers is a guy who he does motorcycle racing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a double amputee. He wears prosthetic legs, and he's one of the top racers out there. You know, so I met some great people. They were wonderful to work with. The wine stuff, actually, I kind of got into that. I was doing a little bit, but the California Wine Club here in Southern California, they commissioned me to do some pieces for like a limited edition calendar and then also a book. That was very limited. It was only 100 copies of that book that were put out. And so I did all these fun wine pieces for that project, and that got me interested. Again, it's like whether I drink wine or not, which I do and I love, it's the shapes of the bottles and the colors of the bottles, and I just love creating those pieces. So, yeah, I tend to – it's sort of fun. It's like if you look at a musician who plays smooth jazz, I'll bet you money they play all kinds of other things too. It's not just that. It's the music. It's the art in this case. It's the shapes and the colors and the action of the pieces. It's not so much the subject matter, although the subject matter is always something I love. It really is.
And one of the things I really love about your artwork is the color. You are not afraid to use color. I love that.
That you say that. I had a teacher. I was doing a workshop with him, and he'd never really seen my work. And he's British. I can't do a British accent very well, but I'll try. And he came along. He was, like, working with each student. And he came to me, and he said, "Betty, you mustn't be afraid of color." And I said, "Sir, color should be afraid of me." I can't help it. I try to do something with a subtle color background. I have this problem with licensing. They go, "They don't want that bold color." I'm like, "That's not bold. This is bold."
Definitely.
Yeah, I can't help it. I just love color.
Oh, so do I. Okay, we have a couple of phone calls.
Okay.
Area code 847, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Well, that would be Carol Ray. Hello.
Carol! Hi, honey.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. I miss you.
I miss you way too much. Way too much. It's not healthy.
How's our boy, Nick?
He's good.
Oh, good.
He's good.
We were talking about him.
We did Philly in... for New Year's, and that was fun. He's going to Florida in like 2 weeks, but I'm laying low for the next month or so. But
Carol has a collection of bags of what has Nick on it, and she wears them out. I think she's had like three.
I've worn out my third one.
Oh boy!
And Mary Kirk still has hers. Mary Kirk was the program owner, station owner, basically, for the Smooth Jazz Station in Toronto. They had to flip it, but they are working very hard on creating another Smooth Jazz Station up there, and I hope they succeed.
Me too.
Some of us have signed the petitions and all of that. But she still has hers, and she only trots it out for, like, special occasions, like festivals and stuff. And I dragged mine around airports, and, mine was a gig bag, so I've destroyed three of them. So I want to know, Betty, when am I getting another one?
Well, actually, maybe sooner than you think.
Good.
One of the licensing deals that I just worked out is with a company that does that sort of thing, and I actually gave them the last one I had as a sample, and they went crazy. So they're a company that does shoes and wallets and
shoes. Oh my!
Yeah,
wouldn't
shoes,
that be the coolest?
Believe it or not, I can't put the name on there yet because it isn't signed in stone yet.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as everything's done and the manufacturing starts, which it's supposed to be a spring release, they will start out with a few images and then go crazy. But they do those kind of tote bags, and they do it with a process that isn't going to have the problems that a handmade giclée print will. So it'll be tougher.
Well, if I can get a year out of it before I have to, I mean, honestly, I destroyed them. You guys have no idea what I did.
You guys were on the road
bags.
All the time.
Yeah. I destroyed them. But I just wanted to, I want to put a couple of plugs in for Betty and her work. First of all, I'm sure you can tell if you've never met Betty and this is your first exposure to her, I think you can tell what a huge talent and she is. But she's got an immense heart. She's one of the best friends anybody could ever hope to have. So gifted, too. I never told you, Betty, but I think a lot of your cityscapes and your car prints, they remind me so much of the late Carlos Almaraz, who was a great L.A. artist, did a lot of the mural art for the Olympics, the L.A. Olympics. And,
oh, my gosh.
Just a brilliant, brilliant artist. And Betty's city work is very reminiscent of his work. She really gets to the heart of the matter. And Bernie, my beloved cousin from Northwest Indiana, who, by the way, did not tell you that the name of his shop is The Joy of Flowers and his wife's name is Joy. Isn't that beautiful?
Aww.
But anyway, Bernie, go to Betty's website. She's got a gorgeous floral series. mm-hmm. that might work flowers. That might work beautifully in the, I know everything Betty does.
Look at you. I mean, I hadn't even thought of that, Carol. You're so smart.
Well,
that's what
you
said. There's smarter people than me out there.
You need a manager. So, but anybody who hasn't been to Betty's site, go through everything on there. She's such an eclectic artist. I mean, her work carries through. It's recognizable. It's not like you go, well, who did this series and who did that?
Right.
It's definitely Betty, start to finish. But her vision encompasses so many different things. Not only the artists that we all love, but she takes even that to a different level. I think the pictures she selected just to have on her, on the little flash thing that you've got going on.
Beautiful.
On the site. Yeah, I mean, Queen, they're fabulous,
Oh, here's one of the Golden Gate Bridge. That is nice.
Ah.
Ah, okay.
Everybody go to her website, look at everything she does, and if you get a chance to go and meet her, please do. She's friendly and open, and she's as beautiful inside as she is on the outside.
Aww.
And with that, I will leave the chat room and let somebody else have their say.
Thanks, Carol. Love you, girl.
Thanks,
love
Carol.
You all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Terry.
Bye-bye. Area code 360, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, this is your sister, Betty.
Hey! Oh, my God. Your real sister. Her name is Cindy.
Oh, hi, Cindy.
I just wanted to call and tell you how proud I am of you.
Aw. Now, Cindy's got the collection going, if you want to know.
Pardon me?
I said, Cindy's got the art collection going.
I do.
Tell them about your bathroom, Cindy.
I have a lot of her, the floral, which you guys were talking about, the real small pieces. They're very, very nice. And then she gave me a really beautiful large piece. I don't know what the name of the one that you gave me is, with the wine bottles and the beautiful lace tablecloth.
Oh,
I don't know if you have a name to that.
It's got two names, but I can't remember this one. It was originally called Winter Solstice, and I think that one with the wine bottles is called Bountiful.
That's
the reason
beautiful.
I can't remember the names of the pieces, first of all, I have a terrible time naming pieces, but the California Wine Club, that was one of the pieces they had for their calendar, and they named it. So when they named it, I couldn't remember. But, yeah, that's called Bountiful.
Well, it's a gorgeous piece. And then in our room I have the Napa Fields, which, talk about color. It wakes Mike up every morning because it's right across from the bed. And then I think the picture that was just referred to with the Golden Gate Bridges, the one that you did for the Bridge to Hope.
That's a that was like a big collage. Now, that's just a bright one. You might be looking at that. But if you look under the posters, Terry, you'll see what she's talking about.
It's gorgeous.
It's called the Bridge to Hope. And the runner in that piece, it's very prominent, is my sister, who is a runner.
Oh.
That's
okay.
Not why it's my favorite, though. That one has a huge amount of color, but it's the idea behind it and the different things in it. It's just, I'll let Betty explain it, but it's a very touching, very,
very charity.
Touching.
I do a lot of charity stuff, that was for a company. It's actually a charity that provides funds for people that are at end-stage cancer and can't get treatment that's beyond the insurance, like experimental kind of processes and that sort of thing. And they provide the funding to those people to get that life-saving care. They are just wonderful. And if you look on my website or if you get my newsletters, which you can sign up for on my website, you'll see all the information about that and on my Facebook page too.
That's a beautiful poster. So I heard you say shoes, purses, and wine. So I figured I'd better call in, even though I didn't really want to be on the air.
Yeah, I know how to appeal to women, don't I?
She's going into fashion. That is so cool.
Yeah.
She knows how to get my attention.
Uh-huh.
So I won't hog the line here. I'll let other people talk. I just wanted to tell you how proud I am of you.
Oh, thank you, Cindy.
Thank you for calling, Cindy.
And the Seahawks are in the playoffs right now, and I'm listening to you. I just want you to know that.
Okay, that's important. Oh, my gosh.
Mike, of course, is not. He's in watching
Well,
Seahawks.
We get that, okay?
Okay, I love you.
Love you, too.
Thank you, Cindy.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Now, I didn't expect that. I didn't see that one coming.
Wasn't that nice? That was really nice.
Yeah.
You guys have got to go to Betty's website, minorworksofart.com, and click on the galleries icon and just go through her artwork. It's just beautiful. And I was looking at some of the flowers, and I noticed here, Betty, that some of the, you know, you have like the same flower but in different colors. So did you have to repaint the flower?
You remember I told you I do a lot of stuff digitally.
Yes.
So what I can do is, I think you were looking at maybe some of the mums.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I created one piece, and then just playing around, I would then recolor it.
Okay.
It's the same piece. It would just be recolored.
Recolored, okay.
Yeah. So
Betty has done posters for jazz festivals. Just really nice, nice stuff here. You've also done some CD covers. So tell us who you've worked with doing those.
Oh, well, most recently, I worked with Greg Adams. And he's got a brand new piece out. It's East Bay Soul. This is the second one. And if you look on his Facebook page or on his website, I've done so much photography for them. And this one is not painting. It's photography. And
mm-hmm.
we just had a blast. All the guys came down and photographed them in various poses. You'll see once like a big group photo that they use all the time on their page. But on the cover was a shot that actually his wife Andrea had the concept for, where it's kind of in profile and there's a light that just sort of hits the trumpet. It's really pretty, and they used that for the cover. On the inside there's some fun stuff. We actually, there's an alley behind my, I'm in downtown LA, I have a studio
okay.
down here, and the alley is very cool. It's got this old stage door that was for a theater that's kind of behind me. They don't really use it as a theater anymore, but it still has the stage door. So we have all the guys kind of standing by the stage door, which is very fun. Another one that I love working with is Kelly Minucci. I think I mentioned
uh-huh.
him. Done
uh-huh.
a couple of covers for him. One is like a collage. It was actually just a fine art painting that I did, and it was inspired by his song Without You, which I love. And he loved the piece so much that he used it for the cover of one of his CDs. And then there's Steve Oliver. Oh, my gosh, I love Steve Oliver so much. He's such a talent. And I, when I first started doing CD covers, I did his Christmas one, Snowfall. But then kind of moving backwards, the very first CD cover that I ever did and the very first smooth jazz artist that gave me a break was Michael Paolo.
Oh.
Wonderful guy. Oh, my gosh. You know, he should absolutely be a headliner all over the world. He's so talented. And he does really well. He does stuff in Hawaii. He does a festival in Hawaii. But I was just really privileged to do a CD cover for him. And there's been so many. I did one for Mesa. Boy, I'm losing track here. So many.
Yeah, I have Sextember. I have that
Sextember, CD. Sextember, right. That was for mm-hmm. Heads Up. And that was a compilation of a lot of different sax players. Mary Meadows
mm-hmm.
was on it and many, many, many others. And that was great fun to do that. They actually called me up and said, we need a cover. I'm like, okay, what's your budget? And then they said nothing. I'm like, okay, price is right. I don't get paid anything. And I said, when do you need it? And they said, today. I'm like, oh, I was your first thought, wasn't I? Oh, I literally did that piece in one day and got it to him, and it worked out. It was great.
Mm.
Yeah.
She also did Terry Lee's cover for his Urban Vacation CD.
That's right.
Yeah.
What a great
wow.
guy he is. We had fun. We went up on the roof of my building and did a bunch of shots that I'm not sure if they're in the CD package, but he used the studio one that was on the cover. But, yeah. Now, on my website, there's pictures of him and I on the roof.
Yes. DW3, Live at Spagatini.
Right?
Just beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful work. Wayman Tisdale. Now, tell me about this one.
Oh, Wayman. Yeah, we miss him, huh?
Yeah, big time.
He was so fun. I had met him many times, during the different concerts. And, anyone who's never met him personally would not realize how big the man was. You know, he was close to 7 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 5'6" if I take a deep breath and stretch. So we were standing side by side and talking. I'm looking up and I'm getting a kink in my neck, And we were talking about what we were going to shoot, how we were going to shoot it, what all the details. And I'm looking up at him and I said, damn, son, you are so large, we're going to have to shoot you in sections.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's it, a triptych. you know? And this was when I was doing the Polaroid stuff. This is not, you know,
yeah.
photography that you can really control. So I literally laid on the floor, and I told him, I said, don't move your feet. You stand right there. So I did three shots, you know, his legs, his torso, and then his face. And I was manipulating all three at the same time. And that piece is actually in the three sections, is on display at Spagatini's. But during that time, we did a few other shots. He was just having fun. He was supposed to be on stage at the Long Beach Jazz Festival. And we were at the hotel where he was staying. They had a banquet room we were using to do the photos.
Mm-hmm.
They had to send somebody to come get him and drag him to the show because he didn't know what he was. Are you going to make him? Who's going to make him, right? So one of the shots that we did that day, he used on his CD, I think it's called 28 Days. And, boy, I miss that man. Oh,
yes, we miss Wayman
what
big time.
What a star he was, you know?
Definitely. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Miner, it has been such a pleasure.
Oh, me too.
Talking to you and learning about your artwork. What beautiful, beautiful stuff you do.
Thank
Just
you
beautiful.
So much. What a kind heart you have. I appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So definitely, everyone, go to her website, minerworksofart.com, and that's M-I-N-E-R, and check out her artwork. And we want to congratulate Barb Susan and Cheryl Ox again for winning the Brian Culberson poster. Betty will sign that and get that to you as soon as possible. So congratulations on that. And I look forward to you doing another poster like that so we can have fun finding people, looking
yeah,
for
just,
people.
We'll have to get somebody to want one.
Are you doing any cruises this year?
You know, I haven't. There was one last year I so wanted to go on, but I wasn't able to do that one. But, yeah, I'd love to do some. I haven't done any in a couple years, and I'd love to do the posters. You know, it's kind of complicated with the cruises because the cruise lines have a lot to say about mm-hmm. that sort of thing. So it gets political and complicated, but I would love to do it. Anybody out there that's doing a cruise or a festival, give me a holler.
Oh, wow. Lori and I are going on Dave Koz cruise in September. It'd be nice to have you
our
on
next
that
interview. I'll have to tell you about my photo shoot with Dave. Oh, my gosh, we had so much fun.
Oh, okay. All
so
right, we'll work on that.
Yeah, you'll have to look at some of the photos on my website of Dave during that shoot.
Okay.
We had so much fun. He's a character. People don't realize how funny he is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again. I really
You're
appreciate
welcome.
You giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, you have a great day. Hang
okay,
on
you
if you
too,
like.
Jerry.
I'm going to say goodbye to everybody in the chat room. Barb Susan, Barb White, Carol Ray, thank you for calling in, Carol. Cheryl,
thanks,
Gonzalez,
everybody.
Yes, Joe from Germany, Lori, Raven, Stacy, thank you all for tuning in and listening to the show. And definitely go to Betty's website again. It's minerworksofart.com. Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not. I'm on Facebook,
okay.
but not Twitter.
All right, and you can follow her on Facebook as well. All right, Ms. Miner, thank you again. You have a great day.
Thank you, Terry.
All right. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen. Thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, keep it smooth and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our websites, talkingsmoothjazz.com and mastermind-entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.
You still there, Terry?